Dreams. We all apparently do dream, and some of us remember those dreams, but what do they mean? In a moment, our dream expert joins us, Kelly Sullivan Walden, on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Kelly Sullivan Walden is a dream expert, a certified clinical hypnotherapist, an inspirational speaker. She has been on radio and television programs. She features the weekly web radio show called The D Spot. And of course, here she is back on Coast to Coast. Kelly, welcome to the show.
George, it's so great to be back with you. I'm pinching myself.
Yeah, well, you know what? We were dreaming about you, Kelly. Tom was telling me, hey, you know, we've got to get the dream expert back on. And here you are. Poof, here you go.
Oh, it's so much fun to be connected with you guys. Thank you so much.
What's new with you?
Oh, wow. So much, actually. I just had a great opportunity to speak at Agape a couple of days ago, Agape Spiritual Center in Los Angeles. And there's a TV network production company. We're doing a little pilot for a TV show, which is...
Oh, great.
Yeah, actually, we're going to be... The emphasis is on nightmares. Because as a therapist, most people don't come to see me because they're having happy dreams. They come to see me because their dreams are disturbing, usually. And I've become quite good at helping people turn around their really pretty disturbing nightmares and heal from them. So that's become, strangely, my area of expertise. So I'll be working with people on this show, and I find a lot of purpose, actually, in helping people.
Good. Do you find that more people, Kelly, are getting nightmares than they did before?
Ooh. Oh, man. I don't know. I wish I knew an exact answer, but I know that there's a lot of reasons. There's a lot of, you know, in the military, I am working with more and more people from the military, and my God, is there a lot of post-traumatic stress, PTSD kind of dreams that people are having, and not just people in the military, but there's, you know, there's so many people that are coming out of the military so disturbed. I mean, it's a bummer to talk about what
are they precognitive dreams or what are they? Just plain nightmares?
Yeah, most of them are nightmares. They're about events that have happened or events that they know of that happened near to them. Usually it's, I would say most of the dreams that I deal with are that relate to the military are about things that have happened. And there are also kind of there's a pretty big percentage of dreams that I have of people that have scary alien dreams about extraterrestrials. And most of the dreams that, like I said, that come my way are the scary dreams. So that doesn't mean that there's not a lot of wonderful dreams that people are having as well that relate to extraterrestrials. I'm sure there's a lot of those that are great, but nobody wants to tell them to me.
No.
Necessarily. I do get to hear some of the epic dreams that are pretty extraordinary and life-defying and death-defying. But, I have had my share of scary alien dreams.
How do we know that some of these dreams aren't a part of reality?
Well, they are all a reality. They're just a different kind of reality. There's the ordinary reality that we have when we're in our 3D mode, but every dream is a reality on some level. So they are happening to some degree. It all depends on how firm those realities are. I mean, Carl Jung, the late great father of psychotherapy, had an entire world that he would go to in his dreams that had regular people, regular buildings, regular situations that would happen that were very solid, just as real as this place. I mean, there's the kind of reality that happens in dreams that is more movable, that's a little bit, the walls are thinner, not necessarily stable, but there are people that have experiences like Carl Jung did, where they go into another place, and it is it's an absolute reality, and it's reliable, and they go back to it, and it's just the same as it always is.
I've been getting emails, Kelly, from people. This is weird, where their spouse or their loved one is waking up with handprints on their chest or on their body. Now, we're not talking about, you know, the other person doing it.
Right.
We're talking about them waking up with a with severe handprints on their body. What's causing this?
That would definitely fall into the extreme nightmare category. And I, too, have heard of these, and there's almost nothing more disturbing than that. And I don't have an absolute answer, but if I was going to, my projection would be that there are entities, there are beings that are not in form that are attached to some people. I mean, some people call them hitchhikers, and it doesn't mean that if you're having these that that's just the way of it and then there's nothing you can do. There's lots that you can do to stop this from happening if it's disturbing. And I would say not in every case is it a negative thing. It might be a beloved energy that's highly attached and trying to get your attention, trying to grab onto you, trying to wake you up, trying to get connection with you. I mean, I've been on the other side myself, and I know how hard I worked to get the attention of the people that were on this side, and I was fighting to get people to pay attention to me, and they couldn't connect. So I know that if I could have reached across the veil and strangled somebody to get them to recognize
please,
me,
I'm here.
Please, I'm okay. Stop crying. You know, so it's not always a bad thing. I think that getting across the veil is not easy. And once an energy is able to get across the veil, just like in the movie Ghost, I mean, this is ridiculous, but the newer beings that are crossing over the veil are awkward and klutzy and clunky, and the ones that are a little more masterful and skilled can do it with more grace. And that doesn't mean that there's not some funky entities that you need to do some work with a professional to get them off of you so that you can have your life back and have your sleep back and your dreams back and have them be about you and your life and not about somebody else that's trying to hitch a ride on your energy.
Funny you mentioned crying. Some people literally cry in their dreams. They wake up they've got tears coming down.
Oh, yeah.
What causes that?
Oh, I've had that experience myself. Well, some dreams, not all dreams are that emotional, but sometimes imagine when our dreams are a continuation of our thoughts and our feelings and that we're having by day. I mean, it's still us that's dreaming. And if there's anything that you've repressed or that you've hidden or that you've denied in your waking state, the walls are thin. Just like during Halloween, they say the veil between worlds is thin.
Yeah.
When we're asleep and dreaming, the veil between worlds is thin. So we have access to that which we normally suppress, deny, or are out of touch with. And sometimes we can tap into feelings that are so like a tsunami. And it might be our own. It might also be feelings that have been kind of collective feelings that have been suppressed, that we are a sacrificial lamb for on some level. And I always feel quite lucky, actually, when I have one of those dreams. I had one where I was swimming with dolphins, and I woke up sobbing because it was such a beautiful experience.
You wanted it to continue.
I was sobbing because it was just a dream. But
have you ever had a dream where you wake up and it's such a great dream, you want to get back into it?
Yes.
And maybe you're lucky to fall back asleep, and you get back into the dream where you left off.
That's a lucky person that gets to actually do that. Most people are not so lucky, but I tell people that's okay. If it's a wonderful dream and you wake up and you realize it was just a dream, don't be sad, because the dream isn't over just because you wake up. And that's the good news, because we have the gift of the fancy term for it is meditation. We can meditate when we wake up in the morning. If we had a dream that we were flying, that we were in heaven, that we were with our beloved pet or our grandmother on the other side, or my God, a spiritual guru, a teacher, we can still pick up the remnants of that dream. And in fact, we can increase the power of that dream over time. There's some people, I mean, there's a woman that I talked about in that I actually had on your show last time I was on, George, Diane,
yeah,
who had a dream. It was a simple dream that she was floating in billowing fabrics, and she was told to smile, smile big, smile as big as you can, and she woke up feeling so good. And I said, Diane, don't worry about that dream being over. I said, just meditate on that for a few minutes a day. And 6 months later, I heard from her, and she said, what I didn't tell you 6 months ago when I shared that dream with you is that I had just been diagnosed with terminal brain cancer.
Oh, my.
And I didn't do chemo. I didn't do any radiation. All I did for 6 months every day for 5 minutes was to focus on that incredible feeling, and it actually got stronger over time. 6 months later, I just found out my cancer is completely gone, and the doctors have no idea how or why that could have happened. And the only thing I did that was different than the ordinary, my ordinary routine, was to focus on the feeling tone of this dream. And she's alive, well, thriving, sends me pictures every few months of herself smiling big.
Good for her. You know, I tragically, we just lost my sister
to
brain cancer.
Wow.
You know, they gave her 6 months. She lasted 2 years, but.
Wow. Wow. Well, my heart goes out to you. And, you know, we all, I mean, my God, I mean, we hear stories like Diane's, and some people will feel like, oh, well, how come? How come somebody else didn't live? We all are going to pass at some point. And, oh, gosh. But she got 2 years as opposed to 6 months.
Yeah. Yeah. And she was a fighter.
Were you close with her?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, she was our kid sister.
Wow.
I mean, I'm 8 years older than her. So, you know, when I was 20, she was 12. You know, you didn't want anything to do with your little 12-year-old sister.
Right.
But, you know, as we matured and got older and age seemed to catch up with each other, we did. And then, of course, this hit, and she went through her own spells.
Well, have you had a chance to have a dream about her? Have you?
No, not yet. This just happened.
Oh, wow.
Just happened.
Wow. Well, my heart goes out to you. That's big. That's big. And I know that the blessing of being somebody like you who knows that life goes on, that life is not just about the 3D that's here. There's the opportunity for healing and moving through the grief aspect will happen much more quickly. Sometimes the grief, we don't want it to go away because we feel so close to them in that grief, but I know that we can still remain connected on some level, whether through dreams or even meditation or just on the cellular level, when their time is right. I mean, I know there's that acclimation period where they're kind of going to school and figuring out what they're going to do before we necessarily hear from them. Yeah. So I can't wait to hear from you about when you do have one of those dreams that features your sister. And
I'll let you know that.
Yeah, those can be the most wonderful dreams, to have those visitation dreams.
Did you just bark at me?
It was Lola, my little dog. I'm trying to shoo her away.
I thought that was you from.
No, when I get up in the middle of the night, she gets up too, and she's like, let me on, let me talk to George. I love George. She wants to be where the action is.
When people dream of things like hell and places like that, what's going on? Is it something happening in their life or what? What are they picking up?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. Well, you know, it can be a couple different things. I mean, often our dreams are a continuation and sometimes an extreme continuation of what's been happening in our lives. And if we've been focusing on energies that, you know, what we focus on, what is that saying, where our thoughts go, our emotions flow, and our results show. So whatever we're focused on will tend to be what manifests. And at the same time, there are some people, just like the saying, the brighter the light, the bigger the bugs. Some of the people that are the brightest lights on the planet will have the most horrific dreams. I met a guy in when I was in Isla Mujeres, Mexico. He is a healer, and he's got one of the brightest auras and one of the most beautiful healing souls you'd ever meet. And this man has an epic nightmare every single night.
Oh.
He doesn't want
to go to sleep, I bet.
No, but in a way, he feels like it's part of the way that he heals, because he goes into places that most people, it's like where angels fear to tread. He goes to these places, and he goes in with his eyes open, and it's like he's going in on a mission to help heal some souls that have gotten lost or stuck, and he brings light into very dark places. So I think, you know, it can be either extreme. Some of the people that are having really horrific nightmares, it may be a function of their own stuff that they're working out. And some people, just like Job in the Bible, it's like, you know, he was super afflicted, but he was the one that was, apparently the most pure soul, and he was the one most afflicted because in some way he was healing on behalf of those who couldn't do it themselves. So
the power of dreams.
Yeah.
Our special guest is dream expert Kelly Sullivan Walden. Her website, Kelly Sullivan Walden, WALDEN.com. And you train people how to interpret dreams, don't you?
I do. I feel like it's incumbent upon, you know, that saying, to the one who much has been given, much is expected. I think it's important to have as many people out there that are relatively fluent in the language of dreams as possible. So at some point, people started asking me to not just interpret their dreams and help them work with their dreams, but how I did what I did and how I do what I do. So I, after hearing that enough times, I started to ask myself, how do I do what I do? I started to organize what I do into some materials, and I put together a training program, and I call it Dream Life Coach Training. Part of that is the little bit of play on words, because it is about the dream, having a dream life. Ultimately, working with dreams must eventually have an impact on the way that we live our lives and help us to live in a more free, light, bright way while we're awake. If we're just focusing dreams kind of from the neck up, then it doesn't do much good. I believe in bringing our dreams down to earth. And so I get to work with people, and I love training people to work with dreams and dreamers. And if people are interested, they can check out Dream Life Coach Training. There's some videos and interesting things that they can learn about how they can become a dream life coach if they're so interested.
And you're also an accomplished author. I Had the Strangest Dream, The Dreamer's Dictionary for the 21st Century. Are people's dreams changing?
Oh, yeah, I think people's dreams change as they evolve. And I know mine certainly do and certainly have. So I think if a person is into, I mean, anybody who would listen to this show, George, is on the path of personal growth and transformation.
Yeah, I agree
to
with
some
it.
Degree. And if that's the case, then our dreams will be those markers. We will have epic dreams that light the path and give us affirmation that we're headed in the right direction. And some of those dreams might be incredibly pleasant, like a reward dream for our hard work, where we get to fly and explore other realms, and that's amazing. And sometimes those epic dreams might be scary, because we're learning how to heal. And I always tell people, if you do have a scary dream, don't be discouraged, and don't let that be a reason to stop paying attention to your dreams. A nightmare is an unfinished dream.
We're going to come back with you, Kelly, and take some phone calls from people who have all kinds of dreams, next on Coast to Coast AM. Well, on our next Coast to Coast program, we're going to talk a little bit about space, the future, and science fiction, for those of you who love that. And when we come back in a moment with Kelly Sullivan Walden, the dream expert, we'll take your phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. Kelly Sullivan Walden with us. We'll take your calls. Kelly, I wanted to ask you about those oracle cards.
When can they're out? They're available.
What do they do?
What do they do? They do many things. They can be used on some level as, at the most basic level, as a dream dictionary. That in the guidebook, there's 53 most common dream symbols among modern dreamers, so you can look up what you've been dreaming about and read about it in depth. But with the cards themselves, you can do what you could do with tarot cards or with any oracle deck. You can think of a question about something that's important that's going on in your world and shuffle the deck and see which card jumps out and feels hot or tingly to you, and you flip it over, and you tend to have a message that will relate to your life. And people have these aha moments all the time about, I can't believe I just picked that card. Or you can do several different spreads if you're healing something, if you're wanting insight about something that's future-oriented. There's different spreads that you can do, and they're beautiful. The artwork is done by Rasuli, the fusion artist, that is amazing, and they're gorgeous. They're a great way to get to know your dreams and your waking state and work with them as an oracle, because we can.
In ancient days, did those folks have dreams and try to interpret them as well?
Oh, yeah. All of our indigenous great-grandparents were dreamers and paid attention to dreams. Some cultures more than others, but any people that have ever lived close to the land, they all paid attention to dreams. I mean, they, in some ways, dreams are considered the secret wishes of the soul. Not all dreams, but we could say that a lot of them are the way that spirit speaks to us. And our indigenous elders would say, how and why would you ever want to wake up in the morning and go about your day without having some remembered dream to give you guidance throughout the day? Without that, you're disconnected from your soul, and disconnected from your soul means you're going to have trouble in the day. And being connected to your dream, by definition, puts you in connection with your soul and puts you in connection to the soul of the world, in some way connection to the soul of all people. So it gives you a sense of depth and connection to your navigational acuity that CNN could never offer. So it's so important. And yes, our indigenous and the elders from way back when, in fact, the first dreams that were ever written were what comprised the very first book that was ever written back in Syria. It was Anna Karida, and I'm mispronouncing it. I'm sure there were more syllables than that, but it was about dreams of kings and commoners. And it was a predictive book about what people were dreaming about, and it was the first book that was ever published on clay tablets. So, yes.
That's amazing. All right, let's take some calls here for you. We go to Paula in Fort Riley, Kansas, to get things going. Hi, Paula, go ahead.
Hi. First of all, I love you, George.
Well, thank you.
And I'm sorry to hear about your sister.
Thank you again.
And I wanted to ask you, yes. I've been married twice, and the first time I was married, I was young, and we were married 21 years. He's a father of all my children, and he passed away at the age of 43 from complications of pneumonia. And then 2 years later, I met a great guy, and I married him, and he had a liver disease, non-alcoholic related. And anyway, he ended up passing away about 7 years after we were married, and from liver cancer. And my question is, when I dream about either one of them, they're always, for instance, my second husband. I dream that somebody else is taking care of him, that he's alive somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Only he's not with me.
Mm.
And it bothers me because I can never find him. But I just know that he's there somewhere with somebody else.
Ah, so the part, Paula, that is disturbing isn't that you know that he's alive somewhere else. It's that you can't necessarily find him easily. Although you know you're getting an affirmation that he is alive and well, and you'd like to see him. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I can completely understand this, and this would be, I've heard this kind of scenario before, and we often like to think of the world on the other side as being so similar to this world, and it is in some ways in that we love each other, and there's some similarities, but on many other levels, it's a vastly different universe. It's completely different, and if we are trying to make that world be like ours, then we will suffer, and it will be difficult. But if we can in some way surrender to the fact that what happens on the other side is more vast and more magnificent than what we could ever imagine is happening here, then it's okay. You might say, well, at some point, please can continue to give me affirmations that you are alive and well. And if you can at some point connect with me directly, that would be so great. And in the meantime, know that the fact that you've been able to get some kind of contact is basically a miracle. I mean, we hear about this quite often, but it's still rare when somebody reaches across the veil to let you know that they're okay, even if you're not getting that direct, satisfying one-on-one connection. It takes so much love to get that message across that you are a very lucky woman, even though it's not as satisfying as you would like to have it if it was in your ideal movie. But it's the story isn't over yet. I would say just incubate dreams about him, meaning think about one husband on one particular night and light a candle, say a prayer, have a picture of him, and just say, wow, it'd be great to have a dream visitation with you that was very direct. If that's possible, if it serves the highest good, may that happen. If it doesn't, I know in my heart and in my spirit that you are alive and well, but if you could satisfy the human personality part of me, wouldn't that be sweet? And just be open-ended about it. The more open-ended you are with it, the more available you are for something like that, should it be available to you to come to pass.
Good luck, Paula. Did anybody, Kelly, ever tell you that you have a lot of empathy for people?
Oh, I've been told that I listen loudly.
That's good. Let's go to Tony, truck driving somewhere in Connecticut. Tony, welcome to the program. Go ahead.
Hey, George. Hey, Kelly.
Hi, Tony.
Hi. I had a question about a dream that I would have as a child, and I had it many, many times, and it has stuck with me even to this day. And then just a quick question afterwards. I would dream just intense nothingness, almost as if I was floating in space, and I really didn't have a form like a body. I just knew that I was there, and it would just make me feel so alone, and there's no really other way to describe it, just absolute nothingness, like I was the only thing in the universe.
Wow.
And my question, which is separate from the dream, is do you think that it's possible that we live two separate lives, one sleeping and, you know, when we're awake, and we're just somehow not attuned to it, or there's some sort of off switch that has gone on, you know, over time that we don't know how to connect to the other sleeping life. And I'll listen off the air.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, Tony, I do. I think there are at least two of us inside of all of us. And there's the waking aspect, and then there's the dreaming aspect. And Carl Jung, the late great father of psychotherapy, would certainly agree with that. And sometimes those lives do overlap, and sometimes they are vastly different. And wouldn't it be great if they did communicate with each other? And I think it's interesting because we can have an experience in a dream that some would say, wow, I mean, I would listen to a dream like that where I'm floating in space, and I'd think, wow, what a blessing, that sounds amazing. And the thought, I'm alone, I'm utterly alone, would suddenly change that lovely dream into quite a nightmare. And as a little kid, and little kids, from a survival perspective, fear being by themselves, being cast out, being having to fare for themselves. And that would be a very scary thought as a young person, as a little boy. And I'm sure there's many other people that have had a similar dream. And yet on some level, it sounds like a very, very much a soulful experience, because on some level, and here's the mystical perspective, there's only one of us here. And that one, when we're in a unified field, there is just one of us here floating around in space. I mean, our world inside our universe is out in the middle of nowhere. We're in the middle of space, and we are floating around, and there is only one of us here. And to me, that's not a bad thing. And it's interesting, like, Tony, you bring up a great point, because it is done unto us as we believe. And if it were my dream and I was, or if I was working with you, I would say, if there is just me, if it's just me floating around, and yet I'm in a unified field with everyone else, like a diamond, and we all are many facets of that diamond, that also means that I'm deeply connected to every being on the planet. That means that I'm utterly never alone simultaneously. So sometimes we can have an experience, and then the thought that we assign to it will make it either a positive or negative experience. So I would say explore that thought, and good for you for remembering a dream from way back when. Some of those dreams are so impactful, and I hope that's helpful. And I know that I can relate to having a dream like that myself.
Kelly, there are some who believe that we right now are living in a dream.
Oh, I believe that 100%. I'm often pinching myself and pinching other people just to see on what level are we dreaming. We are, human beings are dreamers. We can't help but dreaming, even when we think, oh, no, I'm awake right now. We're just having an awake dream. This right now, in this moment, we are all collectively dreaming together. Everyone who's listening to your show right now, or even later in an archive, it's all part of a collective dream. And in this moment, it's actually a very happy dream, because we're with George Nuri. Oh my God, how wonderful is that? And but yet we're all making up our own meaning. We're all bringing in our projections. This reality is not as firm as we think it is. Those walls that we touch, the chairs that we're sitting on, or the beds that we're laying in, it's all atoms and molecules. That it's really just space connected. And we can, if we want to, we can change this dream, just like lucid dreamers can. This realm happens to be a little bit slightly more dense than the dream that we have when we are in that nocturnal sleeping state. It's a little bit less malleable, but it is absolutely malleable. As you know, George, and as many of your listeners know, things can morph and change. People walk through walls. People appear and disappear in this time and space continuum. So yeah, we are all dreaming. If we don't like the way it's going, we can change our dream. So we have a lot more directorial input than we realize.
We'll go to Sharon now in Montreal. Sharon, go ahead.
How do you do? It's my first time calling.
Oh,
and yes, I'm happy to be part of your show tonight. Thank you for having me. Although I had a very disturbing dream while in the hospital 8 years ago. And I had passed away 3 times. The doctors brought me back. Anyway, they kept me for several weeks. And during that time, I had a dream. Mm-hmm. And in the dream, I was in a dungeon, probably around the 1300s. Mm-hmm. And there was two matrons there that were really sloppy looking. And they were supposedly the guards over the female prisoners, I being one of them. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. And they had made a shroud for me because I was to be boiled in oil the next morning.
Mm-hmm.
And one guard said to the other, oh, look, on her shroud, someone has sewn her cross upside down.
Mm.
And I looked down, and I saw the shroud, and my cross was definitely upside down. And I looked up at the two of them. The other one replied to the first, saying, well, it doesn't matter where she's going. Mm. And I looked again, and I looked back, and I said, I'm a child of God. He'll recognize me no matter what.
Mm.
That was my dream. And that's 8 years ago, and I hate to think of it, but I'm so glad you're on tonight, because maybe you can tell me because this is certainly not my soul is not wishing to go there.
Oh, of course not. Of course not. I love the quote that you said. Say that one more time, what you said in response to them saying it doesn't matter where she's going. You said, my God will recognize me no matter where I'm at. What did you say?
I said, I'm a child of God. It doesn't matter. I'm a child of God. He'll recognize me anyway.
Ah, I'm a child of God. He'll recognize me anyway. So sometimes these dreams are all about the punchline. And to me, I am covered in chills from head to toe hearing you say that. I'm a child of God and he'll recognize me no matter what I'm wearing. This is why a nightmare can also be, I like to call it a rightmare, because you got to face a worst case scenario, and you got to find a kernel of your own truth, and you got to find bedrock that you got to stand on, and that's the place that you can draw a circle around and highlight and take with you. And if you could go back in the dream, not that you want to, but a nightmare is an unfinished dream. So if you could, by the power of your conviction, say that to those women, and then continue the dream and show what would happen next, knowing that what you said is so true, it would make null and void any lesser truth, then what might happen to you? Because your dream doesn't end until you are victorious and you are transcendent. So how might you finish that dream if you were going to have it be a victorious dream?
We are out of time, Kelly, but I want to thank you for being on the program. Your book, It's All in Your Dreams, still available out there?
Absolutely. It sure is. Thank you so much for asking.
You
yeah, it's my
are
book.
Very, very welcome. Thank you, Kelly.
What a pleasure. Such a dream come true to be connected with you, George, you and your listeners.
And
thank you so much.
Back to the dream state for all of us. Thanks, Kelly. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesure, Timothy Banal, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, George Knapp, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe.